I am driving home from school when the radio talk turns to E.B. White. It's his birthday, and I exit the here and now of the freeway at rush hour. I travel back into the past where my mother is reading to my sister the part about Charlotte laying her eggs and dying. And though this is the fifth time Charlotte has died, my mother is crying again. And we're laughing at her because we know nothing of loss and its sad math. How every subtraction is exponential. How every grief multiplies the one preceding it. How the author, E.B. White, tried 17 times to read the words, "She died alone," without crying. 17 takes and a short walk during which he called himself ridiculous. A grown man crying for a spider? He'd spun out the thick thread of invention, wondrous how those words would come back and make him cry. And yes, wondrous to hear my mother's voice 10 years after the day she died. The catch, the rasp, the gathering up before she could say to us, "I'm okay." This poem, Wondrous, by Sarah Frawley. Reminds me of so many wonderful parts of Charlotte's Web. What makes Charlotte's Web by E.B. White so wondrous? What is it about a pig named Wilbur, a spider named Charlotte, and a rat named Templeton? Why do we get so choked up over a little spider? Why do children become vegetarians after reading this book? And how can Wilbur ask to Charlotte, "Why do you do all of this for me? I don't deserve it. I've never done anything for you." And Charlotte answers, "You have been my friend. That in itself is enough." If you have never read Charlotte's Web, or perhaps had it read to you, as soon as you leave this service today, please go buy a copy. Written by E.B. White, a New Yorker magazine columnist, and perhaps its most famous one, it is based on the life he observed in his barn in Maine. He had grown up on this barn from his childhood and had watched the many creatures that called the barn home. His imagination at some point in his adulthood had taken hold, and he wrote the story of an ordinary pig who would have extraordinary things written about him in the spider web up in the corner of the pen. E.B. White was a keen observer and brought the ordinary to life by creating an extraordinary friendship between a pig and a spider, who both take the time to know each other and feel seen by the other. I think Jesus is showing us this same trait in our gospel today. We have been traveling with Jesus through the villages, slowly making his way to Jerusalem for one last time. Our reading comes from later in the 10th chapter, but in a relatively short time, Jesus had gone from Judea, where he was tested and quizzed about divorce, quizzed by a wealthy young man about getting eternal life, quizzed by his disciples, asking, demanding, why they haven't gotten more, and telling the disciples once again to be prepared, as Jesus will be crucified and come back to life in 3 days. And then we have today's gospel, James and John. These are two, plus Peter, who recently has seen Jesus transfigured on a mountain with Moses and Elijah. Now they are asking for the best spot, the best seat, the prized place next to Jesus. And they are quick to respond that they are up to this challenge. And they have no idea what that challenge is. But Jesus, as Jesus does, responds with compassion. And he offers a teaching about leadership and about companionship. He instructs the disciples that they need to work on seeing other people. One of the best parts about Charlotte's Web, in my opinion, is the idea that this underdog, Wilbur the pig, gets to be a star, gets fame, and is saved from the butcher shop. Charlotte sees him. He is seen and loved for the pig that he is. And in this simple act of goodness that Charlotte offers, he is saved. This is what Jesus' instructions are all about. The word Jesus uses, servant, in Greek is diakonos, the word that we take deacon from. It is the same Greek word that Mark uses earlier to describe the angels who take care of Jesus in the wilderness. And there's a lot of debate among biblical scholars about the words servant and slave that are used in this gospel today, because they can mean very different things, both in Jesus' time and now. Some have argued that Jesus is using the term slave to promote the idea of prioritizing the community's needs over our own needs. But Jesus is talking about choosing to be a slave. And you can only make this choice if you have the power to do so. In other words, if you are one of the first. So who are these firsts that Jesus is talking about? Simply, they are the people who are asked for their advice. They are the A-listers, the respected, the prominent people in society. They are the ones making decisions, and they have a place at the table. And Jesus' instructions are very clear. The ones not at the table, those are the ones that need to be there. The ones that are not being asked, they need to be part of the decisions. The ones that are looked over, passed by, or ignored, they need to be seen. So how can we see people? I think we need to first slow down. It's too easy to run past the unpleasantness that is the world around us. We need to look around. We need to make eye contact. In a very physical sense, we need to see people. We need to acknowledge them as human, and as our baptismal covenant tells us, we need to respect their human dignity. But this seeing is more than just a physical act. Think back for a moment to times in your life when you have felt seen. Maybe by someone who you deeply respect or admire. Maybe by someone who deeply cares for you. What did they do? How did they make you feel seen? I know in my life, I have felt seen when someone perhaps makes a point to connect with me on a deeper level. Perhaps they notice me in a new way or see something painful for me and offer me companionship. Sometimes it's just to sit with me. This happened to me about a year ago. The entire circumstances are important for this sermon, but I had been reprimanded by someone in authority for something I felt was incorrect and actually unfair. I then had moved outside the group that had gathered and sat by myself while the group was doing their work. And a dear friend, who had not actually even witnessed the altercation, but saw me sitting alone, and they quietly sat down next to me. They didn't say anything, it wasn't needed, but their presence and their solidarity showed in choosing to sit with me away from the rest of the group. It spoke volumes, and I felt seen in a deep way. Sometimes we can give away some of our privileges and make space for others to be seen. Other times we need to make the first move to see someone that is perhaps being overlooked or ignored. That is how we can begin to be servants and create a way for the last to be first. Jesus speaks to this when he tells James and John that he cannot grant their request to sit at his right hand or his left. He is referencing that those spots have already been spoken for. Later on, we will find that the thief that hangs on the cross next to him is promised that place in heaven. You see, even at Jesus' resurrection, he sees those in pain and offers them hope and love. So how do we work to see people? How do we undo what our society tells us so often? Let me offer you a suggestion of a prayer that might help. Dear God, help me to see the things that you need me to see. Help me to hear the things that you need me to hear, so that I can better discern your call for me in the world. Amen.